Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. You know, there's been a lot of talk about whether a third-party candidate for president is viable, given the fact that there's a deep dislike of Hillary Clinton and a deep dislike of Donald Trump. Now, there's Green Party candidate Jill Stein, but Stein left her supporters in Columbus, Ohio, hanging on Friday when she mistakenly flew into Cincinnati instead. Meanwhile, there's Libertarian Gary Johnson, a former governor. A new group is trying to pair up disgruntled Republicans and Democrats to each commit to vote for Johnson so they're not wasting their vote. Now, of course, it's totally unenforceable, but the group uses, as its spokesman, dead Abraham Lincoln to explain their support for Johnson. Here's dead Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, hey, America. It's me, dead Abe Lincoln. And you just got screwed. Because you have to choose between a corrupt president or a crazy president. Like a two-horse race where one horse cheats and the other one eats Muslims. But don't blame the horses. Blame the two-party system. See, here's your problem. The two big parties gave you zero good choices. There's Hillary, who's like a Monopoly player using her get-out-of-jail-free card, then a rig an election card and make millions on political favors card. And Trump, who's like if your racist uncle got drunk and ran for president, then the nation got drunk and said, that guy should have nuclear bombs. Now 2/3 of Americans would vote for anyone else, because everything wrong with politics is wrong with Hillary, and everything wrong with the KKK is wrong with Trump, which I know because he was endorsed by the KKK. Shoot me. But you can't vote third party, because for Republicans, that's a vote for Hillary, and for Democrats, it's a vote for Trump. So you stick with the candidate you don't like to stop the one you hate, splitting the nation in two. But what do I know about that? Look, if America is Gotham City, then Hillary is the mob and Trump is the Joker. The mob's always there. It's corrupt, but at least you know what you're getting. The Joker just got here. He's creating total chaos, and you don't know what he'll do next, but you know it's going to be hell. America, picking between the Joker and the mob is not a real choice. It's time to vote for freaking Batman. Gary Johnson is the only candidate who can beat Trump and Hillary.
That's dead Abraham Lincoln. Finally, Casey Jones was a renowned musical humorist. She was even a contestant on America's Got Talent. Well, Casey passed away last week, and in her honor, I wanted to play a song that she wrote way back in 2009. Now, this was long before Donald Trump was a presidential candidate, but her songwriting is still very reflective today. Here's Casey Jones with Donald Trump's Hair.
Whether a bull or bear market, his tresses are always a target. But this pompadour should be admired. And if you don't agree, then you're fired. Donald Trump's hair, Donald Trump's hair. A girl could get lost in there, way up in there, in Donald Trump's hair. I really don't care if it's full of air. In fact, I really like that word air. H-E-I-R-E-S-S. He's got the bouffant that I want. And I want what I want like Ivana. Spending my hours up in Trump Towers, running my hands through his locks and his safety deposit box. Donald Trump's hair, Donald Trump's hair.
That's the late Casey Jones, and Godspeed to her. Well, you know, given it's this been this big weekend of college football and sports, and I thought it's a holiday weekend, we should kind of mix things up a little bit and take a little break from the politics for at least a brief moment. And so joining me this morning here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Charlie Carey, president of the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, and Gene Lenti-Ponsetto, athletic director at DePaul University. Thank you both for joining me this morning. And both, Charlie runs the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame, and pleasure to have both of you here. Gene's on the board of the Sports Hall of Fame. Big event coming up this week.
Yeah, Rick, thanks for having us today. Really appreciate it. Yeah, our big show is September 7th at McCormick Place. We've changed our venue this year, and we've sold almost, we've sold out. I think we've sold 900 seats. But
amazing.
Yeah, yeah, the reception starts at 5:30. The induction ceremony starts at 7. And we've always been very fortunate to have so many great athletes show up for this event. And the event really goes to a charity, Father Smith from the Standing Tall Foundation, has helped us hold this together for so many years. And he's the one that gave the green light so that we could go looking for other partners and expanding it. And so we have. So, and in addition to scholarships for the underprivileged, the event will support the Chicago Sports Commission, which is run by Carl Bachman, and World Sports Chicago. So Lori Healy, Jeannie have all contributed to what I view as a big move up.
And this is the, if I'm wrong, correct me, it's the 20th?
Yes, this is the 20th induction ceremony that that we've had with our partnership with Father Smith.
You know, and you go through the list of names that of past honorees are you know, it's just a tremendous acknowledgement of how much sports is so much part of the fabric of the city.
Well, we have a rich history in sports. You go, we've got Northwestern, and a lot of people don't know at one time the Maroons from the University of Chicago were a big part of the Big Ten. And you had Jay Berwanger got the first Heisman Trophy from the University of Chicago, and George Connor, a Southside De La Salle Notre Dame and Chicago Bear, got the first Outland Trophy, which is awarded to the best lineman in college football. So we have a rich, rich history, you know, in addition to all of our great sports teams, our professional teams.
I was, as the Hawks fan that I am, I was happy to see that Mush March was on there as well.
Oh, yeah. And this year we're giving an award to Dennis Savard, the Stan Mikita, first ever Stan Mikita Award. Stan was a terrific player for the Hawks, for those great teams in the 60s. So we're excited to have Dennis out. I think Jeannie should talk a little bit about our Ray Meyer Award.
Oh, the Ray Meyer Award is a great honor, you know, bestowed upon Coach Ray for this award to acknowledge his terrific career that he had at DePaul. And this year's honoree is Jay Wright, which is terrific for everybody at DePaul because Jay's in the Big East Conference. He's one of our colleagues and a really good friend. So our coaches are really excited for Jay, and they had such a magical run in the NCAA tournament this year that you can't help but, you know, root for the guy. So we're looking forward to inviting him and welcoming him to Chicago on Wednesday and him receiving the Ray Meyer Award. And it'll continue the legacy of terrific coaches over the years from NCAA championships teams that have won this award.
Well, and Gene, you're a member of the Hall of Fame.
I am, and very honored to be so, Rick. It's a terrific company. I tell Charlie all the time, I'm not sure how I really made that list, but I appreciate being included.
Oh, please. Now, come on. I mean, it's a great honor, and you have had a great career in athletics.
Yeah, I'm really grateful, and it's nice, you know, because I have two brothers that are in it as well. My brother Frank and Eugene are also in it, and Frank's had a great run at Mount Carmel High School, and Eugene's been our softball coach at DePaul and been to four Women's College World Series. But there's so many tremendous names. I mean, it's just a who's who of Chicago sports history that's accomplished so much and added to the fabric of the city of Chicago that gave people a lot to get excited about and cheer for and really create a great sports community in Chicago.
Well, now, your brother, by the way, I mean, he's had a great career. 11 state titles. Yeah. Under his coaching at Mount Carmel.
Yeah, we're really proud of him. But I think if you talk to him, he'd tell you that it's really due to he's been smart enough to keep the same assistant coaches around him for that entire length of time. And as Charlie knows, and you know Rick, you know, you're in a sport like football where you have so many positions and you know the offensive and defensive schemes that you have to run, you got to have a great staff around you. So I think Frank would give all credit to his staff.
And you got to know change. I mean,
oh, for sure.
It's not going to be the same system that works out all mm-hmm. the time like that. We're speaking with Charlie Carey, president of the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, and Gene Ponsetto, athletic director at DePaul University. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. It's 7:48 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Charlie Carey, the president of the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, and Gene Ponsetto, athletic director at DePaul University and a member of the board of the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, also a Hall of Famer herself. And we're talking about their 2016 induction ceremony, which comes up Wednesday at McCormick Place. And Charlie, this is a new venue, and I'm kind of curious, how did this work and why?
Well, I've always felt I've been involved with this Hall of Fame going back to the late 1980s. I think
part of the fighting leatherneck spirit of
well,
in you, right?
Yeah. And my father's teammate at De La Salle High School was George Connor, who held this together along with Father Smith. I have to give a big thank you to these ladies. Gene's been a great director for me, and she introduced me to Lori Healy, Kara Bachman, and they just drove the bus for me. I just got in behind them, and they've made it happen. But this was always kind of my vision to get the Hall of Fame back in the city of Chicago in a venue, and make it really one of the premier events in the city of Chicago.
And obviously, by the fact that it's sold out, there's a great deal of appreciation for it. We discussed a few of the inductees. I was wondering maybe if you could give us the list of some of the others that are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame on Wednesday.
Well, sure. We start out with we give awards to people that don't necessarily have to have a Chicago tie. The Ray Meyer Award, the NC2A basketball tournament champion, has accepted every time we've offered it to him. We have the Gale Sayers Award, which we had we've had Earl Campbell, we had Franco Harris last year. This year, it's Jerome Bettis from Notre Dame, and there's a lot of Notre Dame people in the city of Chicago.
Are there? I wonder what they'll be doing tonight.
I'm not sure, but I think they'll be watching a little football or doing something. But anyway, and then this year, the George Connor Award is going to Frank Winters, a fellow Leatherneck, who was Brett Favre's center for the Green Bay Packers for 11 years, those Super Bowl teams in the 90s. And he's probably only the fourth Packer we've allowed in this Hall of Fame. Paul Hornung is one. Frank is one. So Packer fans are welcome for the evening. They can come spend their money and see a truly great Green Bay Packer. In addition, Dennis Savard getting the first ever Stan Mikita Award.
Right.
Everybody knows his body of work. It's been tremendous. And we got Ryan Sandberg for the Cubs. We got Carlton Fisk for the White Sox. We've got a basketball guy that was kind of a contemporary of mine, Jim Brewer, who played basketball at the University of Proviso East, University
sure.
of Minnesota with Dave Winfield. But a lot of people don't know, and I had to do my own homework. He actually played 10 years for the Cavaliers, but he got a ring with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the Lakers in his final season.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty exciting. We got Lance Briggs, one of the best linebackers the Chicago Bears have ever had. So we have Mike O'Neill, a high school coach who coached a lot of guys that ended up going to the NFL. You know, Timmy Grunhard being one of them from St. Lawrence, but he had a big influence over people for all the years. So we've got a great class.
And the Swirsk.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget the
voice. I wasn't going to forget him. You know, he's the voice of the Bulls. No way.
Yes. I mean, the great Chuck Swirsky, and who's gearing up for the upcoming Bulls season as well. And
yeah.
and a good friend of WGN, even though he's now on another network, as they used to say in the old days.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other inductees,
sure,
too,
Jane.
Rick, that I think are really noteworthy, especially as Chicagoans go. And you're right, you talked about Chuck, what a terrific guy. But Don Wilson's also going to get a special recognition as the chairman of Chicago's America Cup World Series. And, you know, Pat Ryan, who chaired up our Olympic bid for the 2016 Games, unfortunately, which we all would have loved to have had here in Chicago. And, you know, our longtime friend who passed away last year, Howie Fagan, that we all, you know, will love and miss dearly. And at DePaul, we have an inductee this year, Nadia Edwards, who prepped at Lincoln Way East and was an All-American at Penn State and teammate of Katie Schumacher, who's already in the Hall of Fame. So we got a great list of folks that are terrific Chicago ties that I think people will really be excited to see.
I mean, with all the applause for all these people, this must go all night. I mean, you serve breakfast at this too?
Not with Charlie. Doesn't go all night when Charlie's in charge.
We try to keep the program going so that everybody has a great evening, but it's just nice to be with these types of athletes.
Yes.
And there's a lot of Bo Ellis is coming back, you know, who was a great player at Marquette.
Sure.
And we've got a lot of my friend Tommy Hicks, who played for the Bears, University of Illinois.
A fellow graduate of Willowbrook High School in Villa Park, Illinois.
Oh, I knew he was Willowbrook, but I didn't know you were Willowbrook.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
So, well, I got your trivia here for
you. Yeah, you're out dueling me here. I'm overmatched.
Well, and speaking of McCormick Place, where this event's going to be held Wednesday, and Gina, this is partly why I wanted to have you on as well, is of course everything that's going on over at McCormick Place, particularly now with the construction of the DePaul Arena over there. Can you give us some progress on what's going on?
And sure. It's moving along terrifically. We're actually a little bit ahead of schedule. You got to give, you know, a lot of credit to, the folks at Clark Construction, because they're just hammering on it. And Moody Nolan's our local architect here in Chicago. So they've done an amazing job. But, you know, this was a vision of you know, Mayor Emanuel and actually Mayor Daley before him, and Father Dennis Holtschneider, our president at DePaul, to, you know, come together and create this partnership. DePaul's had partnerships all over the city of Chicago, and pretty much wherever we've laid down roots, those neighborhoods have burgeoned, and it's exciting. McCormick Place is going to get the neighborhood's got a new name, McCormick Square.
But it's still going to take me a while to get used to
that. Right.
Yes,
I could appreciate that, Rick, being a longtime Chicagoan. But the facility itself is just going to be a state-of-the-art venue that's going to be multi-purpose. It's going to be a wonderful basketball arena for both our men's and women's basketball teams. But there's been a number of conventions and shows over the years that Chicago has teetered on, either, you know, missing out on a year here and there, or has lost completely because they didn't have a big enough lecture space. You know, Eric Crown seats about 4,000 people, and this space is going to be a really good opportunity for those conventions and shows that are looking for a home for, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 people in a lecture type facility. And then, you know, the rest of the plan is concerts and family shows, and that's a great venue for that size for concerts. And I think Lori's vision is to really bring more sporting events. We've already been on some NCAA events to be hosted in the facility. High school championships, Chicago Catholic League, Chicago Public League championships, high school graduations. DePaul's graduation will also be there, our convocation. So it's going to be a multi-purpose building that's going to get a lot of usage, a lot of dates. DePaul plans to use it for about 27 dates out of the year, and then the city will have it the rest of the time to use for conventions and, like I said, concert shows and other local high school events, most notably. And I think for our young prepsters here in the Chicagoland area to be able to play a state championship game or a high school championship game, or just even a regular public league series or Catholic League series, it's going to be a beautiful venue for that. You can't beat the location. Parking's terrific. The amenities in the spaces in terms of locker rooms and everything that goes with it for a student athlete are going to be just off the charts.
And what is the seating going to be for sporting events?
For sporting events, it'll be about 10-4.
Okay.
And I think, for other events, depending on what the setup is, it'll range anywhere from probably 7 to 8,000. And, you know, because if you put a stage at one end,
sure,
it's for a concert, it probably narrows it a little bit to about the 8,000 range, which acoustically is terrific for most concerts and most shows. And so we're excited. We're excited to be part of the partnership with the city of Chicago. Like I said, DePaul's had a long history of contributing to Chicago in that way. And we're glad to be joining that force with McCormick Place folks in the city of Chicago.
And it's injecting a new dynamic into that neighborhood, too.
I don't think there's any question about that. And I think the neighbors have really embraced it. We've spent a lot of time doing community service projects with the children in the neighborhood, especially the Chicago Public Schools. Pat Dowell, we've spent a lot of time with the alderwoman and just, creating a partnership of ways that DePaul can contribute to the fabric of that community with all the different outreach programs that we have educationally in the Chicago Public Schools, most notably. So we've really started to, again, to once again insert ourselves into a neighborhood where we think we've provided a lot of betterment for the community and some terrific opportunities for the children in the community as well.
Well, Gene Pinsetto, athletic director at DePaul University, Charlie Carey, president of the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, thank you so much for joining me this morning on this holiday Labor Day sports football weekend kickoff. Thank you so much for joining me here in the studio.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.